You all know the game of Trivial Pursuit.
Oh,
Do you like it?
yeah.
How many of you are good at it? I'm abysmal. I do not have a head for pop culture. I'm the one who will say, oh, you know that British actor, he was in that movie with that woman who's really pretty. Oh yeah, Pretty Woman. But not that movie, the other movie. Who am I talking about? Hugh Grant. So that's what I have to do to get to Hugh Grant. So I have a dear friend, Donald, and his sister, who Donald was a talent agent in Manhattan with all sorts of actors, actresses. They are so good, and we won't let them be on a team together. So we were playing this in Vermont, and Donald said, well, I want Whitney on my team. And I'm like, no, you don't. And so as the game progressed, mostly Donald and his sister are like, bam, 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 bam. And the rest of us are kind of watching until a question came. Name a biblical unit of measure. Anyone? Yep, cubit. And I said to Donald, cubit. And he was like, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm positive. It was the one and only answer I got that entire game. But it was my gift to the game. And all of us have a gift to give and to offer. I need to tell you that part of our passage this morning was lectionary for last Sunday, and I was really glad to hear you were focusing on Psalm 139 because I adore this passage from John. John and Jesus are cousins, remember? John has his own following. Which kind of co-joins eventually with Jesus's followers. And John is preaching, saying, here comes the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb, right? The one who died for our sins. Except that for all the purity laws and rituals, lambs were only sacrificed at the Passover, which is a celebration of liberation and justice and freedom. So, really, it's not the Lamb of God who died for our sins, or however many ways that we put that. But one who liberates us from sin, if you want to use that word, one who comes to bring us into a new relationship with one another and the holy. So when John is out there preaching, saying, behold, here is the Lamb of God. John is saying, here is our freedom. Here is our release. Here is our hope. Here is our renewal. So Jesus comes wandering along. Jesus does not give an overt invitation. in the Gospel of John. He's just walking along. He probably already has a blossoming reputation. He already is a curiosity for people. And when he comes among the people, there's five questions in our passage this evening. This is the first one. Jesus asks the group, "What are you looking for?" We could do a whole worship around that, right? What are we looking for? What am I in this moment in my life looking for? They don't answer Jesus. They don't say, "Oh, we're looking for this and this and this." They bypass the question. And the second question of the passage, they say to Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Right? And Jesus, I love this. He says, "So come and see." I kind of want to see where the dude's hanging out also. Come and see. And the use of this terminology in the Greek is not just like, come and see my pad and what I have up on the walls and all of that stuff. The meaning of the word see is come with me and you will perceive, understand, recognize, experience. It can mean any or all of those. So Jesus is calling people to a way of seeing that opens perception, that opens a door. I would say, as he says later, that opens heaven. He is inviting people when he says, come and see. He is inviting people to a journey that has the power to change our lives in ways that we do not and cannot know or imagine at the outset. So they stay with Jesus. They accept the invitation, pretty daring thing to do. And they stay with him, Andrew, and folk. And then the next day, or that day, Andrew invites his brother Simon, whom Jesus gives a new name, Cephas in Aramaic, Peter in Greek, both of which mean the rock. You rock, right?
You do too.
Do you think that Peter, when we talk about accepting an invitation and being on a journey, that Peter had any clue at that moment as to why Jesus would give him this nickname, the Rock? I don't think Peter had a clue. It's a new name for a new venture. So the next day, Philip, who comes from the same town as Andrew and the Rock, Philip is the one who invites Nathaniel to join them on this venture. I'm assuming that Philip invites Nathaniel because Philip himself is excited, curious, has some kind of burgeoning conviction that Jesus is a person of God as we all are. He's impassioned. He has something, Philip has something to share, and he wants to share it with Nathaniel. Now, this week, just to test my theory, I looked at some short clips of movies. And we've already established that I can't tell you the movie or the actors. But short clips of just this scene of Philip inviting Nathaniel. And there were some beautiful, beautiful things of Philip and Nathaniel sitting close together and very intimately, Philip saying to Nathaniel, I think we have found the one who can lead us, who maybe even the one the prophets have spoken about. And of course, Nathaniel's dubious and resistant and kind of, how can this be? And then it's Philip who echoes Jesus's invitation. It's Philip who kind of elbows Nathaniel and said, come and see. What have you got to lose? Come and see. And then Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see. And then Jesus enters the picture. And here's where I differ with the passage. Because Nathaniel says to Jesus, how is it that you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. And in the movie clip, Nathaniel kneels and bows his head and says, you are the anointed of God. Also, serious, right? Spiritual. I need to tell you, that is not my take on this passage. So I'm going to share my take with you, and then you can take it or leave it. So here is Philip inviting Nathaniel. And Nathaniel says, third question of the passage, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of the north side of Kalamazoo? Can anything good come out of Russia? Can any, you get the point, right? Where our own closed hearts, closed doors, prejudices, usually along the lines of justice and injustice, happens. Peter echoes Jesus at that point and says, come and see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Test your prejudices. Test your racism. Test your come and see and get to know at least this one. And then maybe heaven will open a little bit more. So here's where the fun begins. Because Jesus enters at this point, and Jesus looks at Nathanael and says, ah, here finally is one of Israel in whom there is no deceit. Do you think that's true? I mean, who among us can say there's no deceit? So right away, Jesus is setting something up here. Here is one of Israel in whom there is no deceit. Fourth question of the passage. Nathanael says to Jesus, Where did you come to know me? And Jesus said, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. So I'm going to take a little tangent here. That rabbinical texts often cite fig trees as the place or symbol where those who study the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, gather to study. So, to say, I saw you under the fig tree means that Jesus knows he's a person of faith. He's a person who studies his holy word. He already knows some things. Also, under the fig tree, and as many of you are aware, you can think if years ago you saw the movie Yentl, there is a long ancient tradition throughout Judaism to debate various aspects of scripture. This is why the Jewish tradition has midrashes, which are not scripture, but are takes on scripture, stories, interpretations, some of which are better than the scripture itself, I would say. So there is a whole tradition, I think, even in Nathanael and Jesus's day, of debating and bantering and pushing one another, and not necessarily with acrimony, not necessarily with ego, but often with jest and with fun, even though the topic might be really serious. And this is what I think is going on here, that Nathanael and Jesus, in essence, are under the fig tree and they're having fun with their bantering. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Suddenly, Nazareth is right in front of him. And the banter starts right away. Ah, finally, one in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael knows from that moment he's about to engage in some bantering. And he says, yeah, where did you come to get to know me? Well, I saw you under the fig tree. So at that point, Nathanael says, huh, yeah, you are the Son of God. You see what I mean? I love this. In the movie, Nathanael kneels, bows his head. You are the Son of God. I think it's okay if you have that take on it. But I think he's being facetious and sarcastic and saying, you saw me under the fig tree. You are. You must be the Son of God. Right? And that, if he is being facetious or sarcastic or humorous or whatever label we want to put on it, if that's the case, then it is at this juncture that Jesus handles it brilliantly and turns it around and suddenly drives home the point and says to Nathanael, Nathanael, you believe? Because I said I saw you under the fig tree? Like, how ridiculous is that? No, Nathanael, I know that you are already a believer. I am asking for you, or already faithful, I should prefer that word. I am asking you to take more risks, to have more opportunity for your perceptions in this life. Do you believe, because I told you that you were, that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this, Nathaniel. You will see heaven opened you will see angels ascending and descending. And so ends the debate. We have all, in our own ways, had those moments when we have seen heaven opened. We have, each of us, in our own ways, by whatever names you want to call it, have experienced angels ascending and descending. May happen in prayer, in meditation. It may happen in dreams. It may happen in visitation from loved ones who have passed on before us. Come and see, Nathaniel, for you will see heaven opened. I am inviting you to a future where we don't know what to expect, when we couldn't imagine it intellectually, even if we tried. What are you looking for? Where are you staying in your life? Where did you get to know me? Do you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree? Because God sees us under our fig trees. Come and see. And if you say yes to this journey, here's what I can say. You might have to leave behind everything as you have known it. You might have to leave behind any sense of security, family, possessions, livelihood, reputation, income, feelings of safekeeping. Some of us know this in our lives when we come out, right? When we are healed in our addictions, the path and the journey changes. You will be asked to plumb depths of spirit you have not plunged before. You will be asked to live a life of faith and prayer as you know it. You will be called to think of others at least as much, if not more, as you think of your own needs and welfare. You will be asked to have your life turned around, inside out, upside down. You will risk being called at times to go against conventional wisdom and the powers that be. You will be challenged at every turn. And you will be comforted and sustained at every turn. You will have company on the road. You are not alone. You will be asked as much as is possible for you to know your own God-given, blessed, juicy self and soul. And even more, will you see heaven open? Not just up there, not just somewhere, but in here and here and here. May it be so. Amen.